appreciate the warmer weather that we can able to be here this morning. We'd like to study this morning on a subject, the problem of sin. Sin is the first and greatest problem that man has. Yes, without sin, we wouldn't have all the problems that we have. We know that the world today is so full of evil and wickedness, murder, people stealing, robbing, doing all kinds of evil things. And that's because of sin. There used to be a song that we sing, Sin is to Blame. Yes, sin is the blame for all the problems that we have in this life. Not all problems have the same weight of importance. We know that some are material in nature and temporal in consequences. And so there's some problems that we have that are not sin related, and they're temporal in their consequences. But some are spiritual in nature and eternal in consequences. And so when we sin and our sins are not forgiven, then we can expect to receive an eternal punishment. The consequences of sin is eternal death and separation from God. Sin is the greatest problem that man has. The Bible tells us that man fell, thus he needed a redeemer. Back in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned. God provided a remedy through Jesus Christ. He saw that man had sinned and separated himself from God, and man needed to be redeemed. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme is Christ the Redeemer. Yes, God had a plan to redeem man, and he gave his son that we might be redeemed. Let's see what the Bible says about the problem of sin. The problem of sin, what sin is. Instead of calling sin, we give it a different name, making it more acceptable. One is not thought to be as a sinner. They want to call it a disorder that a person has rather than a sin. Those who have a drinking or a drug problem, they're addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs, they're said to have a sickness or a disease. But actually, it's a sin when we become addicted to drugs and alcohol, things that cause us to do things that are wrong. The term sin isn't used as it has been and should be in the world. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. God has commanded us what we are to do and what we're not to do. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. God gives the law. We break that law, we transgress that law, and it becomes sin. Adam and Eve sinned. God gave them a law, a commandment, what they were not to do. In Genesis 2 and verse 17, he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There was only one thing that God commanded Adam and Eve not to do, to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The sin was that they ate the fruit. They disobeyed what God commanded them. In Genesis 3 and verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God said, you shall surely die. Of course, the serpent or Satan told them a lie and deceived Eve. In Genesis 3 and verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And so that this fruit was pleasant to the eyes. Yes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And so she took the fruit, she ate it, she gave to Adam, and he ate of that fruit. they sinned, they disobeyed God. We can sin by doing and also by not doing what God commands. There's a sin of commission, that is breaking God's law, going against what God has commanded. James 2 and verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And so God commands us not to be a respecter of persons. We're to love our neighbor, to love everyone, and not to be a respecter of persons. He says you commit sin when you do this, and you're broken the law, you're a transgressor. Then there's a sin of omission, that is failing to do that which God commands us to do. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so when we fail to do good and fail to do what is right, we commit the sin of omission. The problem of sin, who sins? Some think only of the low life. They only think maybe of the drunkard or the thief or the rapist or the murderer and so on. Yes, when they think of a sinner, they don't think of a person maybe that lies sometimes or that cheats someone, things of that nature. All men, the whole world, we all sin against God. Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, we have all sinned and done wrong. Romans chapters 1 through 3 shows us that all have sinned. The first chapter of Romans, we read about the Gentiles and they are in sin. In the second chapter of Romans, we read about the Jews, how they're guilty also of sin. In Romans 3, we read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. In Romans 3 and verse 9, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they all are under sin. And so every person sins against God when they've reached that age of accountability. The whole world lies in wickedness. In 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world. There's no man that sinneth not. In 1 Kings 8 and verse 46, if they sin against thee, for there's no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ himself is the exception. He came here on earth and lived as a man, and he was without sin. But even good moral and religious people sin. We read about Cornelius, a centurion, and he was a devout man. He was a good moral man, but he was guilty of sin. In Acts 10 and verse 2, it says, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, he gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always. Yes, even though he did all these things, he was a sinner, separated from God. In verse 22 of Acts 10, he says, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Cornelius was told to send for Simon Peter, the apostle, to come to his house, who would tell him words that he needed to hear to be saved. Yet he still needed to be saved from sin. In Acts 10 and 6 says, he lodgeth with one, that is Peter, Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. In Acts 11 and 14 says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And so we see that Cornelius needed to be saved. He and those that were in his house. Peter came and preached to them and told them what they needed to do. We notice the Ethiopian treasurer, a eunuch. He was a very religious man. He was a dedicated man. He had traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. And he was in his chariot on his way back home. But this man was a sinner. He needed to be saved. In Acts 8 and verse 27, it says, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. In verse 28 says, was returning, and sitting in his chair, read Esaias the prophet. Yes, he was reading his Bible, the Old Testament scriptures. Yet he still needed to be saved from his sins. In Acts 8, verse 36 through 38, it says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, that is Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Yes, Philip had preached Jesus to the eunuch here. And he saw this water. He says, see, here's water. What would hinder me to be baptized? And so he was baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing. His sins were forgiven when he was baptized into Christ. We notice the problem of when. When one becomes a sinner. It's not at birth. Yes, we're not born sinners. We're not born with the sin of Adam and Eve. Calvinism teaches total hereditary depravity. That is, that little babies are born with sin. And that's where infant baptism came in. But babies are innocent, they're pure, and they're safe. And every baby that dies will go to heaven, be with God. We don't inherit the sin of Adam. We're not born evil, as Calvinism teaches. We notice in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And so the son does not bear the iniquity of the father. Each person is responsible for their own life, their own actions. If we're wicked, we're responsible for that. If we're righteous, then certainly God will be pleased with our life. We sin at the point of becoming accountable before God. Accountable when we understand about Christ and know what one must do to be saved. In John 8 and verse 24, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so Jesus said we must believe. And of course, we must obey Jesus Christ to be saved. Yes, one must be old enough to sin, can recognize it in your life. In Acts 2:38, when Peter stood there on the day of Pentecost, and they had cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice what Peter told them to do. He said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so those believers were told to repent and be baptized. Of course, little children, little babies, they can't repent because they haven't committed any sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, when Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, he says, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so Saul, the apostle Paul, he became. When he went to Damascus, Ananias told him to arise and be baptized to wash away his sins. We notice the problem of why. Why sin is the problem. It separates us from God. Sin cannot enter into heaven. In Isaiah 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And so sin separates us from God. You can't please God in your sins. You can't go to heaven with sin. We notice sin brings forth death, a spiritual separation from God. In Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world," that is Adam, "and death by sin. And so death passeth upon all men, for that all have sinned." Yes, Adam and Eve brought sin into this world, and death as a result of sin. They died physically, and also they died spiritually. They were separated from God. Romans 6 and verse 23, "The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages, the pay for sin is death. It's eternal death and destruction. The gift of God is eternal life. James 1 and verse 15. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Sin brings forth death and separation from God. Sin will keep us out of heaven. In John 8 and verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Jesus was going back to heaven to be with the Father, but in their sins they could not go to heaven. The reason for obeying the gospel of Christ is because man is in sin. We have a need. We notice the problem of how to deal with the problem of sin. We're saved by the grace of God. Through God's love and God's favor, we can be saved. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so we're saved by grace through God's part, faith on our part. He says, not of yourselves. We can't earn our salvation, but we must do the works of God and obey him to be saved. We're justified by his grace. In Titus 3, verse 4, through 6-7. "But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so God loved us so much that he sent a Savior to save us. It's not by our own works. It's obeying God and doing his will. Grace, God's grace, provided a sacrifice for our sins. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so Jesus lowered himself. He took upon himself the form of a man. Yes, and he suffered the death on the cross. Yes, he tastes death for every person. He died for you. Yes, I'm the one, the song that we sung. I'm the one that crucified Jesus. Each one of us had a part in his crucifixion. Sin, being a violation of the law, demands that a penalty be paid. When you violate the law, a penalty must be paid. Man cannot pay the penalty. He has nothing to offer. He can only face the consequences for his sins, and that is eternal hell or punishment. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God has always demanded blood sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. Life is in the blood. In Leviticus 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Animal sacrifice could not remove sin. Under the Old Testament law, they offered up animal sacrifice. A remembrance was made for their sins. In Hebrews 10 and verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. In Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. And so blood had to be shed for man to receive remission or forgiveness. And it was the blood of Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that qualified was the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And so we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. In 1 Peter 1, 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. He was without sin, without blemish, and he was willing to be beaten and mocked and spit upon and nailed to the cross and suffer that anguish and pain till he died on the cross for our sins. He suffered for you and I. Jesus died for our sins so we would not have to pay the penalty. Matthew 26, verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Yes, he shed his blood that we might have forgiveness. In Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Receiving the benefits of God's grace is conditional. Yes, it's conditional. It depends upon our actions. In Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Who's going to receive eternal salvation? All those that obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, we don't love him. In 1 Peter 1, 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do we purify our souls? By obeying the truth. The truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In conclusion, sin will keep us out of heaven. Sin separates us from God. God loved us so much that he gave his Son to die on the cross for our sins. He offered up his Son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ was willing to suffer that pain and anguish on the cross that we might have forgiveness. He tells us what to do to be saved, and we must obey that to have our sins forgiven. Are we willing to humble ourselves and obey his commandments? Yes, it will be heaven or hell, depending upon how we live. Yes, we have a big problem with sin all over the world. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and live a Christian life so that you can go to heaven? We notice that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus, when he gave the great commission, he told the apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so you must believe and have faith. Also, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repent or perish. Repent is to turn away from your sins to God. And then we must confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that good confession. Yes, we must confess Jesus before men with the mouth. You must be baptized to be saved. As Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. There are many scriptures that teach you must be baptized. Men will teach that all you have to do is to accept Christ as your personal Savior, and then they talk about the sinner's prayer. Nowhere in the Bible does it mention the sinner's prayer. This is a plan of salvation that Jesus has given. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, and you want to be saved and you want to go to heaven, then you need and you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized, your sins are washed away in the blood of Christ, and He'll add you to His church, the church of His choice, the church that He purchased with His blood. And so if you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come now while we stand and sing this song.